The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we talk each week about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There is so much peace of mind when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and your convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there really, really is a lot of peace of mind that comes when you know deep down that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. There's just a lot of anxiety that occurs when you sense that alignment isn't present.
That's right. It's easier said than done, though. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
Yeah, and when you're confused, guess what?
What's that?
You don't make good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes you think you don't make any decision at all, mm-hmm. which is another form of decision, but that's a topic we'll talk about.
Analysis paralysis,
that's right. And that can all go into just keeping you from being all that God wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
It can hurt you pretty badly as well.
That's right.
So, well, welcome. I guess this is episode 10.
Double digits.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Money and Mission, where, again, we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles and wisdom. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week, in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
That's right. And then part of the way through the show, so much fun, the weekly puzzler. That's right. And boy, we've got a good one this week.
We got some things to talk about, yeah.
We do. That's right. We do have a few things. But wow, a week in review.
Yeah.
This has been a fascinating week out there. Last week, remember, we were talking about jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about job revisions.
Yep.
It's just
very common.
Very common. You know, the jobs report comes out. We have X number of jobs. And all of a sudden, oops. It's revised downward. Somehow we have like a third less than we thought that we did.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what else they don't talk about in that jobs number?
What's that?
Layoffs.
That's right.
Like, how many jobs are we losing?
Mm-hmm.
Not just the ones that got revised away, but how many jobs are we actually losing? It seems to me logical that we're losing jobs. Remember we talked at one point how Walgreens is closing down stores.
Oh, yeah. A handful of companies.
Right? Rite Aid.
Yep. Family Dollar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that John Deere and Caterpillar are laying people off. So, you know, we don't have statistics on how many jobs are impacted.
And they could be signals for other things, right? John Deere, Caterpillar, those are in pretty specific industries. So
that's right.
That can signal some things downline or upchain.
That's right. There's always a domino
mm-hmm.
effect. Well, according to a poll that we found on Crunchbase, where they come up with names of some of these surveys, I don't know, but Crunchbase, In 2022, now it's a couple years ago, but there were 93,000 jobs that were lost over the course of the year. Just in tech companies.
So just in tech.
In 2023, last year, there were 191,000 jobs that were slashed out of U.S.-based tech companies or tech companies that had a large U.S. workforce.
That's more than double.
That's more than double.
From the year before.
That's right. So, you know, we had a jobs reports that got revised downward. And then, oh my goodness, just in the tech sector, we had actual job losses. Right. It would be interesting to do the math to see if we had any job expansion at all or if it was a net loss altogether.
But so provide like a tight labor market, right?
It would provide a tight labor market.
Yeah.
So far this year, there have been more than 60,000 workers, again, just in tech companies.
And it's already competitive.
That's right. But there was, you know, there's a report here. So let's say for every 700 or 800 jobs that are lost, it seems like, again, this domino effect. If there's a job that's lost, well, that impacts, like, who all does that impact?
Right, with John Deere, Caterpillar, like I was saying.
Yeah. But if somebody's job gets lost, it impacts their family.
Sure.
Then maybe that person doesn't have as much money to spend for a Big Mac.
True. And it can affect communities.
That's right.
I mean, look what happened to Detroit.
That's right.
Automakers.
That's right. These domino effects.
Coal towns of Pennsylvania here.
That's right. All throughout. So there's just domino effects. This is the way economics tends to work. One thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. So we hear about the jobs report, and we always have to keep in mind there's more there than just what the numbers initially are reported.
And like you said, where they're going. Tech seems to be going down, but then hospitality and healthcare seem to be increasing.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's right.
People have to go somewhere, I guess, for their jobs.
That's right. But hospitality and hospitality, what was the other thing?
Healthcare.
You said? Healthcare. Mm-hmm. Yeah, healthcare feels like it's a little bit more stable, right? Hospitality is rather cyclical, right? It's more discretionary, and if consumers are feeling the pinch, they may eat out less or
get crushed during COVID.
That's right. That's right. So depending, you know, if you have a good stable job over here that's cut and then it gets replaced by one that's more cyclical or less stable, then, you know, in the aggregate, that has sort of a negative effect or puts the whole economy in more of a shaky position. Mm-hmm. Oh, so much fun to talk about that. Not, right? But we want to cover it, right? Because it's out there and you may be hearing about that in the news. So I guess the sum total there, new jobs are being created, but they're being offset by downward revisions and companies are shrinking and so on and so forth. So, you know, the Treasury curve or the yield on the Treasury curve is still inverted. And that just means that short-term Treasuries are yielding more. You get a higher interest rate or a higher effective interest rate on owning Treasuries that have maturities like between 3 months and 2 years than you do on Treasuries that have 10-year maturities.
Yeah, and I've also heard some say that could be a reliable indicator on like recessionary conditions. But I've also heard a lot of people say that this environment's a little different and that may not be the case.
So. That's right. Well, you know, historically, every time we've had an inverted yield curve, eventually there has been some recession. History may not be a guarantee of the future, but time will tell whether or not eventually we, you know, run into some recessionary pressures, depending how you measure recession, right? Which we will run out of time here today. We have like 2.5 minutes left, so in this segment. But just notably, corporate bonds are still showing a generally higher yield than Treasuries. So that doesn't mean you should just rush out and buy corporate bonds, but it does mean that yields in Treasuries and yields in corporates are slightly different. So that's always an interesting observation to make.
Well, what impact could that have on borrowers? right, lead to like tighter credit requirements, harder to get money, obviously higher rates.
Yeah, well, we're already seeing it harder for people to borrow money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the issue that makes things harder for people to borrow money is possibly their own credit or just tighter lending standards.
That's what I'm getting at. So it makes it harder on the bank, so they ramp up those requirements.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, the Fed itself has these stress tests that they do to require that banks have better capital positions to try to avoid another financial meltdown. So that higher requirement also, you know, just filters out the domino effect and makes it harder to borrow money. But there is this thing called the Fed dot plot,
mm-hmm.
which just has an interesting the dot plot
sound,
right?
I was looking at that earlier.
This is a chart that reports on where different members of the Federal Open Market Committee think that interest rates are appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So what it looks like, I'm looking at a copy of the Federal Reserve dot plot here, and it really is, it's this chart that just has little dots. So on the y-axis or the vertical axis, it has interest rates or percentages. So if here the percentage is at 5%, and there are eight dots next to the 5%. And then there are...
And each one of them is a member.
And each one of them is a member.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So that means that eight members of that committee think that 5% is where interest rates should be.
Gives you a little more insight than just a solid percentage number that they report on.
That's right. Yeah, the next line, so then there's seven dots next to 5.25, and there's only four dots next to 5.5. But it's interesting to see how the dot plot declines in terms of interest rates next year and the year following. So it just tells us that we think maybe the Fed thinks that there will be some rate cuts in the future.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell us exactly when, and it doesn't guarantee that everything is going to play out exactly the way they think, but that's the way it looks at this point in time.
And I'm sure we're not going to be stopping talking about it anytime soon, so we'll keep everyone informed.
That's right. We will keep everyone up to date as the dot plot changes.
Well, we need to take a quick break, folks. And when we come back, we'll continue off with our SMART goal segment. Stay tuned. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are continuing our discussion of SMART,
mm-hmm.
right? The acronym that stands for specific, that's the S, measurable is the M, achievable, which is the A, and this week we're getting to the R. But this all relates to your definition of success, which is so important in understanding the mission that you are pursuing in your life. Last week, we talked about the A. We were talking about the achievable and action part of that. Today, we're talking about the R, which is relevant,
mm-hmm.
right? If there is only one thing that you take away from today's discussion, we hope that you will remember that your goals and the actions you take must be relevant to your mission, must be relevant to your definition of success, if you hope to ever achieve the success that you're pursuing.
Yeah. I mean, you could take many actions, but if they're not relevant, you're not going to end up at the destination that you intended.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, on the face
of it. Potentially set you back.
Potentially set you back. That's right. On the face of it, this seems really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like we should talk a little bit about, like, what are some scenarios where action takes place and things happen that are not relevant?
Mm-hmm. I think we've talked a little bit about that earlier. maybe getting pulled in too many directions sometimes. That can have an effect.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, what does that really look like if you're pulled in too many directions, right?
Well, just taking action that's not really aligned with your goals, and it's exhausting your time and your resources, which mm-hmm. are limited.
Right. I mean, let's say you're running a business,
mm-hmm.
and this is a business that you feel passionate about. You feel like, you know, God's really called you to be in that business, and so you're providing a service or product, something, again, that you really have a high sense of mission for. And you're in this business for a while, and you know, inevitably what happens after you've been in business for a while, you start getting recognized for maybe successes that you've had, success in business, achievements in the community, and so on and so forth. And sometimes it happens quickly, other times it just happens a little bit at a time. Requests start coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, could you sit on the board of this charity? We'd really like somebody with your experience and your expertise, you know, to sit on the board of this charity, and which is fine, right? It's a great pursuit to have, but it uses up some time. And what you're doing on the board of that charity may or may not be congruent with the business that you're running. And so suddenly you have an action going on and time that's not really relevant to the mission that you're pursuing.
It's essentially robbing you of the opportunity to be taking relevant action.
Potentially. Mm. That's right. Depending what's involved there. Or,
well, if it's not relevant, then it is, because that could have been replaced with an action in that time slot.
Correct.
To take it.
Yeah, that's right. And since we only have 24 hours in a day,
and you're not awake for all of them.
That's right. That's right. Then if you're not focused in a particular direction, then you're pursuing something that really is not relevant,
mm-hmm.
right? And it hurts the development of your business and the mission that you're called to. Or, you know, suppose it's, could you donate time to a particular effort? I mean, which is not maybe a board position, but just donating time. Could you serve as a mentor, which again uses up time? So you suddenly have these requests coming in, and potentially that starts pulling you in all these different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And it can sort of creep up on you before you realize it.
But also, it's interesting, all those things you mentioned, they all have the potential to be very relevant in whatever what you're doing. So I think maybe it's important to carefully analyze those and ensure that they are,
mm-hmm.
or then that's when they'll be pulling you off track.
That's right.
But being a mentor, serving on a board, they could be very relevant for whatever your goal is.
They could be. That's mm-hmm. right. So it's at the risk of redundancy, it is super important to be clear.
Mm, specific.
Specific. That's mm-hmm. right. About what you, the direction you're heading, your mission, your what you understand to be success, so that when these different things come along, that you know what to say yes to and you know what to say no to.
And I told you that story of that gentleman a while back. He told a group of us, he said, I've opened 100 doors in my life and 97 of them were the wrong door.
That's right.
So I'm here to help you all so you don't open those wrong doors as well.
That's right.
Because they robbed went his whole life to learn those lessons.
Mm-hmm. You can either learn from other people or you can learn from yourself the hard way.
Right.
That's right.
I seem to do both.
yeah. But you know what? What happens when you start getting pulled in all these directions? You know, sometimes your calendar backs up.
Yes.
The Absolutely. Level of stress in your life goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you experience health problems.
Mm-hmm. And stress can take a toll on you.
I feel like I'm preaching to myself.
Yeah.
A little
Joe,
bit
move
there.
That mirror out of the way.
that's right. Yeah. But this happens again if, you know, it can happen when you're in a space where what you're doing is not relevant to, you know, to your mission and your call. However you've defined success, if this happens, you are getting lost in everyone else's requests and not particularly what you are pursuing yourself. You know, we've mentioned Tom Monahan before on this podcast. Tom Monahan, we know, is the
Domino's
Pizza. That's mm-hmm. right. He is known for Domino's Pizza. He's also known as the founder of Ave Maria University. Well, I guarantee you that Tom Monahan did not become known for Domino's Pizza or starting Ave Maria University by running around doing a whole bunch of things that weren't relevant to his mission. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, he was focused on getting that done. And even I mean, you know, Joe Nebesinski here and Joe Murphy, I mean, these guys are focused.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, they don't have a choice. They have to sit here and be the sound engineer.
It's the day job.
It's the That's right.
It's very relevant for all of our listeners, though.
That's right.
And the if I push the wrong button, you guys aren't going to be on the air.
That's right. That's exactly right.
No episode 11.
That's right. Yeah. So, but relevant. That's right. The actions that are being taken are relevant. The Wright brothers had to, you know, select some things to do and some things not to do because they were focused on building an airplane or figuring out how to do that. Henry Ford was focused on building an automobile. And so, you know, the list could go on and on of people who...
Mass producing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The list could go on and on of people who needed to decide what was relevant to their mission. Mm-hmm. And so if you're feeling that, you're not alone. Right. Okay? Everyone has to do it. And if you don't, you run into problems. Well, what's another... situation where relevancy comes into place or comes into play?
Well, I know we work a lot with the biblically responsible investing space. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of conversations with folks about aligning the value of their portfolio with the values of their lives.
That's right.
I think that's an important one.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. Maybe you've been working with like a sales rep in the financial services. So you somebody that you are working with who sells products and services to, and that person doesn't really share your values. Mm-hmm. And so the recommendations that they make are not in alignment. The financial products may be good, but if they don't align with your own values, then eventually what happens is you wind up with this internal conflict where you're feeling like, hey, things are happening financially, but it just feels like there's something missing because what you're doing is not in alignment with your values. Mm-hmm. And we've heard people talk about how frustrating that can be if the advisor or the sales rep they're working with doesn't reflect their values or doesn't share their values. Because every time the conversation comes up, it becomes either combative or they feel like they have to explain or whatever. So it's a challenging situation because the decisions that are made are not relevant to the mission.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have several more scenarios that we want to discuss, but I think we're getting we need to leave enough time for this to cover the weekly puzzle.
Yes.
And I think you'll understand why we need time here as we go.
So, folks, last week's weekly puzzle, which Joe made us tell him when we walked in today.
I know the answer. You guys don't.
We're about to. It was, I'm brown. I have a head. I have a tail, but I don't have any legs. What am I, James?
What am I? A penny.
A penny.
A penny. That's right.
Yes. And I think there's some things to talk about because I said, hey, James, that could be a couple things, like a snake. They have a head and a tail, brown, no legs, you know. Yeah. A penny, I did think of that as well.
Not all snakes are brown.
Not all pennies are brown. This is the conversation we had at work.
You're right, depending on how long they've been in circulation. Think about that.
Bam, you nailed it.
That's right.
That's a big factor.
But I did some research, and I'm looking here at a report that talks about how many different shades of brown there are.
And
It has to be true. It came from Wikipedia.
And I see all those shades. Have you ever read the book 50 Shades of Grey or heard of it?
No, I've never read that book.
And what he's showing me here, this other one, it looked like peach on here. I see it looks like khaki. So I guess any color can technically be brown.
I suppose. Well,
and a little research I did myself is that since pennies are made of copper, which is naturally reddish orange,
uh-huh.
But as Joe said, the ones that have been in circulation longer are brown due to the oxidation of the copper.
And more specifically,
for collectors, the color of the penny is a significant factor in determining its value. They're categorized as red, red brown, or brown, and red being the most desirable color for a penny.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what, send your thoughts to Radio Puzzle at wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. We would love to hear your thoughts on that. We'll try to pick better puzzlers.
Yeah.
Yeah, going forward. So
you guys have been doing too much research on these puzzlers.
We're not doing enough work. That's it.
That's right. Don't have enough to do in our day jobs. Well, this week's puzzle, right? Let's get to this week's puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I am an object used in baseball, but all day long, I probably can't be seen at all.
Okay. I'm an object used in baseball. For game of baseball, but during the day, I can't be seen at all.
Yeah, all day long, I'm probably not seen at all. What am I?
Hmm. Well, that one has me stumped for now.
Send your answers to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and next week, we will read the correct answer on the air.
All right, folks. Well, stick around for our next segment. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles and wisdom. And today we're continuing to work on the SMART acronym, right, where S equals...
Specific.
M equals
measurable.
A is all about
achievable.
Achievable. Action.
Mm-hmm.
That's alignment.
The ones we throw on there.
That's right. Yeah. How many A's could we have on that? That's right.
As many as shades of brown there are.
As many shades of brown there are. Oh my goodness! All right. Okay, we're trying to put that in our rear view mirror now, right? But R we said was relevant.
Yes, that's right. That's today.
Yeah. And last week, we kind of got ahead of ourselves and we talked about things being realistic.
Alignment. Yeah, which kind of ties into relevant.
That's right. Oh, I guess when we were talking about it being achievable, we were talking about whether or not things felt realistic.
That's correct.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could probably go a couple different places with that. But it is so, so important for the action you take and the plans you make to be relevant to your mission.
That's right.
Because you could just go down a bunch of different roads and end up at a spot that A, you never intended to be, or maybe that's a totally bad spot to be if the things you're doing, the actions you're taking are not relevant.
Yeah, and maybe even if it is relevant, it could backfire and not be the right move to take at a particular place in your life.
That's right. Well, that's true. I mean, being relevant and having things in alignment does not remove risk.
No, that's correct.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everything we do involves risk.
Mm-hmm.
Investments involve risk. You know, being in business involves risk.
Getting my car coming to work this morning involved risk.
Involved risk. You just can't take that. You can't take that away.
Mm-mm.
Right. So, you know, every step we take, whether it feels like it or not, is actually a faith step.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, only God can protect and keep us from that level of risk. Mm-hmm. Solomon said one time, in the book of Ecclesiastes, that we should divide our portion to 7 and even 8 because, as he said, you don't know what evil will befall you.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about risk. It sounded to me like he knew what risk was all about.
And about a well-diversified portfolio.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, long before, you know, modern portfolio theory and the things they were talking about there, he wrote that in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Mm-hmm.
It just took modern portfolio theorists 2,000 years to catch up.
And crunch the numbers.
Yeah. That's right, on what he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes. Well, you know, at another spot in the Bible, Colossians, in the book of Colossians, the third chapter, we read that it is important to set our minds on the things that are above.
Mm.
And this means to set our priorities and our focus on the priorities of God's kingdom directly in the middle of everyday earthly activities.
And that's so prevalent nowadays that people are not doing that.
That's right. That's right. But doing so means that when we're intentionally thinking in that direction, then the actions we take and the things that we do, again, are relevant to our mission in general as being God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, living in a way that is a reflection of God's kingdom coming right here on earth. So we talk about alignment, and we've talked about that. And in the context here of goals and your definition of success being relevant. And I think, you know, we mentioned a couple of scenarios. Let's just cover a couple of more.
Sure.
Right? I mean, let's say in a scenario, you have a deep conviction about how money can be invested to both reflect your values and accomplish your financial goals as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that kind of conviction going on. And, you know, you're doing okay. Maybe you've accumulated some investments. Not a lot, but you've accumulated some. And then out of the blue, you inherit a large sum of money. And you know what happens next? Invariably, I mean, we've seen this happen. Suddenly, sales reps of all kinds show up and start knocking on your door.
And family members.
Right, and family members, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, somehow word gets around that all this money is there.
Mm-hmm.
But a strange thing happens inside, too, when someone has that kind of an inherited situation. All of a sudden, feelings start popping up. Well, I think I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe there are investments that get purchased. Maybe there are insurance products. Possibly there are just different things that money gets spent on. But as it goes, all of a sudden, you know, you realize, oh, no. Like, none of this aligns with what I thought was a conviction, right?
Mm.
The choices I was making were not relevant to the mission that I believe that I'm on. And that happens because there wasn't a good plan. I mean, things weren't written down, and the decisions that are made then are not relevant in light of the definition of success or where it is that I thought I was headed. And then along comes the regret with that, kicking myself. Why in the world did I do that?
Sure.
Right.
And I'm sure they're still looking down the road at the goal that they wish they had achieved or were working towards, but their goals weren't relevant.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a tough situation, you know, because when an inheritance comes along, again, there is a dramatic shift in the financial position and the financial well-being and all of the accompanying feelings that go along with that. But it's so important.
And when you have those resources at your fingertips, it's real easy to pull that trigger.
It really is. That's right. So it's so super important in that kind of situation. If you ever find yourself in a situation or you know someone who does, to surround yourself with good counselors and good advisors who can help you make the right decisions and not only build out planning that's in alignment with your calling, but help you to structure your money in that way as well.
Mm-hmm. And also, I took note here of a couple items about why it's important to have things aligned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for example, a young couple, them prioritizing saving for a down payment for their first home, that's aligning with their value of building a strong foundation for their family.
That's right.
You know, that's home base for them, not just a piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say an entrepreneur investing in their business to create jobs in their community, reflecting their commitment to economic growth and social impact.
That's right.
So,
and even, you know, frankly, going on vacation with your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was in a coaching group for a number of years, and one of the things that, you know, they encouraged us to think about is something called, as they described it, memory money investing, where you are intentionally creating memories. Memories with family are the kinds of things that you could not buy with money.
Right.
And so you're literally making deposits in that bank, something that can last for generations and just last forever, really, in passing on and impacting again, your family in a very, very positive way. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to, you know, we don't want to leave anyone with the impression that, you know, if you decide to spend money going on vacation, that is a completely, completely bad idea. But we do think that there should be a thoughtful process. I mean, you should think through that carefully.
Absolutely. Because if not, then there are definite pitfalls that come from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of them, you know, a lot of us play the comparison game.
That's right.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
That can be an issue of your goals not being relevant.
The bigger and better game.
Mm-hmm. The lost opportunity costs I was talking about earlier, robbing you opportunity.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, another area too, that where actions that are taken little bits at a time over the years, and even actions that are taken then in planning is in this whole thing that we describe as estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really estate planning is really just about the orderly accumulation and distribution of assets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, careful thought needs to be given to how assets are built up and accumulated over the years. And then careful thought also needs to be given to how those assets are eventually distributed.
Mm-hmm.
It's
even from the grave, you know, and we talk about how money is a tool.
That's right.
So it can continue to be used as such through your estate planning and as you pass.
Well, that's right, but we're going to, I think we should talk that, I think we should unpack that a little bit, right?
Sure.
Probably in the fourth segment, it occurred to me as we were kind of thinking about this, you know, in the book of Genesis, in the 25th chapter, we read this very interesting verse. It says, Abraham gave all that he had to his son Isaac. It means he gifted it to him. This is what happens when people do estate planning. They figure out how to get money and stuff from one generation to the next.
I'm sure it's a lot more complicated these days, though.
We don't know what all complexities they had. But then the next verse says, but Abraham also gave gifts to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had. It doesn't say how many concubines there were. I just found myself wondering if there was any family conflict going on when Isaac saw his dad giving stuff to the kids of his concubines. Right? I mean, the Bible is like notably silent on that. It doesn't say, you know, Isaac was thrilled when his dad gave stuff to, you know, other wives, you know, the kids from other wives. It doesn't say that.
Here's another example.
Uh-huh.
David, he gave instructions to Solomon before his death.
Right.
Yeah. Jacob, he blessed his sons and distributed his possessions, and then Abraham.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole thing of, you know, again, people thinking through what is going to happen to their stuff when
it goes way back.
When they're going, it goes way, way, way back. Right. It's a human proposition. But it is so important, again, for the choices that are made, and not just in the process of planning how those distributions are going to happen, but even in the decisions that are made leading up to that, the relationships that are built and so on, for things to be relevant,
right.
Relevant to the mission that family is on, relevant to the mission and the calling that people have. And so we'll talk a little bit about that in the fourth segment here today, this whole estate planning conversation. And I think we're almost out of time.
Yep, that's right. We're out of time in this segment. We'll pick it up. Don't go away for our last segment. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF. AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. And I'm James.
And this is Eric.
Yeah, and we are co-hosting
Money and Mission.
Money and Mission, that's right. Episode 10. Mm-hmm. We are working through this acronym called SMART, where S stands for specific, and M stands for measurable, and A stands for achievable. And we kind of expanded that to be action and alignment. And R is all about being relevant. And this is really related to, again, your definition of success and understanding your mission here in life.
Mm-hmm. And it better be relevant if you want to achieve it.
That's right. Yeah. And this all goes to, you know, the name of our podcast here, Money in Mission.
That's right.
You have to understand the mission that you're pursuing. And you have to understand how money works
as a tool.
That's right. So that money can translate into the tool that helps to accomplish that mission.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. And we've been talking here this week about situations where action steps that people have taken or might take maybe weren't relevant to the mission. And the problem that people run into there is that they end up in a place where they didn't intend to be. They don't accomplish the mission they had started to pursue. They wind up with regret, stress, and worry, and so on. So it is super important for there to be relevancy. As we took out the last segment, we were looking at the book of Genesis in the 25th chapter, and we said that, you know, there Abraham gives everything to his son Isaac. And so people had been distributing money from one generation to the next like that for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Today, of course, we call that estate planning.
Right.
And this is a spot where you really want to make sure that the actions that you take are relevant to the mission that you have and what God has called you to. When you're doing estate planning, it's really easy for you to begin to worry about what happens to your money when you're gone.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And how your loved ones may be affected.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we sort of dive into this topic, we won't be able to cover it more than just scratching the surface. We do want to acknowledge that, first of all, there are feelings that come up when you think about your money and your assets, right? I mean, when you invest everything that you have earned into everything you own, then there's a little piece of you in every digit. Right?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, about how the old saying is, well, it's just money, right?
Or an object.
It can be replaced, which is true. Our health is more important.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at money and I look at things that I have, they were all purchased carefully.
Yeah.
And intentionally. And mm-hmm. it took me hours of work to accumulate that money to mm-hmm. buy that.
That's
so
right.
So I don't just look at it as paper. I look at it as time in my life I won't be able to get back.
That's right. So there's a little piece of you in every digit, in every investment,
mm-hmm.
in every business effort that you might be associated with. So there is this normal development of feelings about things to which you have your name attached.
Sure.
Right? Now, it's also interesting, though, because you have these feelings going on of things that you are attached to at the same time that we say the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That means all of your stuff actually doesn't belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to God. But still I have these feelings attached. Right? And so this creates a really interesting conundrum. A lot of times we hear when people are doing estate planning is that they believe they can control their money from the grave,
mm-hmm.
to make their money do what they want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not that you can't do that. You know, you can write paragraphs into your will. You can write trust provisions in place that actually require whoever's receiving that money to follow certain rules, and, you know, only under certain conditions does money get distributed, and so on and so forth.
So you can't take it with you, but you can still control kind of how it's used when you're gone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But this is, again, this is an interesting conundrum because, you know, you can either decide to approach your money as something that you own and you control, or you can approach it as something that you are managing for God.
And you have a fiduciary duty
and you have
to do good things with that money.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, I would rather have a fiduciary responsibility to God than that's probably more scary than any other fiduciary responsibility, right?
Keeping a tight spreadsheet.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we gently want to suggest that while it is important to be a good steward and to really effectively manage the money that God has entrusted to you, that the money and things that have your name on it are not really your primary mission, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, your primary mission is to be God's person here on this earth.
That's right.
Bringing God's kingdom to earth. And that may not involve trying to control your money after you're gone, right? It's probably more important to be focused on things like developing other people as disciples of Jesus so that when you are gone, they will be using that money in a way that is pleasing to God as well. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be gone either way. So
you're looking down smiling knowing it's being put to good purpose.
That's exactly right. So it's normal to develop an attachment to things that have your name attached, money, business that you may be involved with, church. Mm-hmm. I mean, clergy. You watch some of these guys and women, I mean, you watch them work, and they put a lot of time and effort into building churches. And, you know, my wife's...
And a lot of their own money into the programs that they run.
That's right. Mm-hmm. My wife's father was a minister all his life, and he spent an enormous amount of time on church. And there's really this catch-22 because the church all by itself can sometimes take up as much of a consuming focus as money or business.
Mm-hmm. I know a good percentage of people are just there on Sundays, but some of those members are there all throughout the week.
That's
getting
right.
Things ready, handling those extra projects that they have going on.
That's right.
Their time, money, resources.
Mm-hmm. And we think you should be involved in church, but church should never rise to the place where it takes God's place.
That's true.
Right. Just like money should never rise to the place where it takes God's place.
Mm-hmm.
Or business. So again, in this whole area of estate planning, there are two ways at looking at the things that we call ours. One, we can just say, hey, this is our stuff, and look for ways to control it for as long as possible. Or two, we can recognize that everything we have belongs to God, and then look for ways to teach people who will one day receive our money and our stuff to be good stewards, which leads us to a spot where we can let go of money with confidence. And the point is really that it's easy to lose sight of our mission and what God has called us to if we get wrapped up in the process of actually managing the money and being in business or being involved in church.
Yeah, and I think that's what that book that we spoke about, you have it right there, about mm-hmm. the ultimate gift.
That's right.
The character Red Stevens, he wanted to be able to give those principles back and pass them on to those that he cared about, and he felt like he failed in doing so throughout his lifetime.
That's right.
So from the grave, he tried to instill those principles so they would continue to do well.
That's right. So if you haven't read the book, the title of the book is The Ultimate Gift. It's written by a man named Jim Stovall, and it was produced by Executive Books.
It's an easy read, but it's a great book.
That's right. A couple of things that you can do to try to, you know, be on a good path when it comes to this area of estate planning and what to do with money that's entrusted to you. Surround yourself with competent advisors who also share your values.
That's right.
Both of those things. I mean, if someone shares your values but they're not competent as an advisor, that's not a good spot. And if someone is a competent advisor but doesn't share your values, that's also not a good spot to be. So who are some of those advisors? Well, an attorney.
Sure.
Someone who understands how to write legal documents in a way that reflects, again, your values and your intention like that as a Christian.
Accountants.
Yes. CPAs. That's right. A financial advisor. Investment managers. business consultants.
Absolutely.
Right. If you're in business and trying to understand how to arrange your business assets in a way that really carry forth, you know, again, God's kingdom right here on this earth. You had thought life coaches.
Sure.
That's right.
I mean, if you're kind of aligned with someone who's able to give you guidance moving forward and you're both closely aligned, I think they'll be able to point you in the right direction of what steps to take.
That's right.
To get you where you want to go.
That's right. And if you're in business, human resources consultants, again, and pastors too.
Absolutely.
And, right. So clergy.
And I would say that's a big one, actually.
That is a big one. Mm-hmm. That's right. So anyway, we could go on for a while on examples of people to surround yourself with who can help give you the right kind of guidance, advice, and accountability for keeping you on the right track, making sure that what you do, your actions are relevant to your mission and your goals. Don't forget to write things down. You can never reassess your current planning and make sure that it's still relevant if you don't have it written down.
And if you're not quite sure about that, listen to two episodes back, our podcast, where we talk about why it's so important to write down your goals.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, though, how would people go about listening to some of those previous podcasts?
Well, there's a couple ways they can listen to them. The first is Holy Family Radio's website, which is 720WHYF.com.
AM 720.
It's www.720WHYF.com.
Yeah.
Or they could go in the future to our website, wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, I know in this day and age, just pull out your smartphone. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, and in most major podcast platforms. So
that's right. Just search for the Holy Family Radio Podcast on Spotify.
And follow that, and our episodes will get released there after they air.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's the time always goes quickly. Remember to send your answers to this week's puzzle to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. We look forward to seeing you next week, where we're going to be talking with Cody Hobelman.
Yes.
And exciting interview there that we're going to have. Again, you're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Bye, everybody.